Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, back for week 8 in the NFL. I went 5-0 last week. Got to get that right off the top. My co-host, as always, MMQB Senior Editor, Gary Gramling. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. I'm just glad you came back this week after all the money you made.
I know
you can't see it on the podcast. He's got a new fur coat on, a couple of chains.
Looks like Joe Namath here.
It was 5-0 was nice. What was your record last week?
2-1 and then 0-2 on the totals.
All right. So that's 2-3 if my math is correct.
Perhaps.
All right. Scott Gramling, the managing editor of the DRF Sports Forum, Gary's brother, with us as always. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. Congratulations on it's a little hot in here right now. I think
you know 0-5 is coming
here this
week, so don't worry
No. You've turned the worm here.
What was your record last week?
I went 1-3 on the sides, 1-1 on the totals, for a total of 2-4.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the Chiefs every week. That's what's helping.
That's helping immensely, yeah, isn't it? They're undefeated against the spread. So that puts me at 16-9 on side, 64% for the season, 3-4 in totals.
Only team, I think, to cover every week is the Chiefs so far here in 2018. And let's get right to the Week 8 board. It will start early Sunday, 9:30, London. Two teams struggling this season. The Eagles laying a field goal to the Jaguars, who are a complete mess. Back to Blake Bortles this week. Philly -3, total 42 in London, 9:30 Eastern time. Gary Gramling.
I mean, look, this one's tough. Jaguars are a mess right now. I guess it really depends on how much trust you put on them turning this around. My big problem with them, and I'm leaning Eagles here, my big problem with the Jaguars is benching Bortles last week was such a panic move, because say what you want about Bortles, he gives them the best chance to win a game. Cody Kessler is not going to win you a game that you're trailing by 20 points. You have given up. You might as well go out and punt on first down every time once you're putting Kessler in. Right move going back to Bortles. It's just a question of, you screw with the guy's psyche a little bit. I'm not crazy about it. And as I said last week, I hate these 9:30 games anyway.
Scott?
I like the Jaguars an awful lot in this game. I know they've looked awful in recent weeks, but betting system that applies to this one, teams coming off back-to-back games of scoring fewer than 10 points, 15-3 against the spread since the start of 2014. That includes a 1-0 mark this year. If we remember, the Cardinals, Gary's Cardinals, came out of the gates with a big loss to the Redskins and then a shutout loss to the Rams, and they bounced back with a cover against the Bears. But that 15-3, I just think the Jaguars are being very undervalued here. Jacksonville 8-3 against the spread as an underdog under Coach Doug Marrone. This is kind of the spot where they've excelled more so than in the role as a favorite. And I think there's also something to the fact that Jacksonville is more accustomed to playing over in London. They know the drill. They've won each of the last three trips over to London. They've played in London more than any NFL team. Eagles are one of four NFL teams that has not played in London. And right now, if you look, there are 9 teams currently in the NFL that have 0-1 records in London, and there are 0 teams that have 1-0 records in London. So for all those reasons, I like the Jaguars an awful lot here to bounce back from that woeful effort. I think they hit rock bottom. I feel like they have the talent, especially on defense, that this is where they start to turn things around.
I like Philly in this game a lot. I think the Jaguars are done. Blake Bortles of last year was an aberration. Obviously, you have to go back to him, but he is not the answer. Eagles really should have won that game last week against Carolina, and I think they celebrated too early. And I think they thought the game was over. I don't see that happening.
They literally celebrated too early.
Yeah. So I think I like that for this week. I think that's in their heads now from last week. So I think they come and do a number here on the Jaguars. Good game at 1 o'clock. Ravens giving 2 in Carolina. Interesting line there. Total 44. First of all, Scott, do you think the Ravens should be favored here in this spot, -2 on the road in Carolina?
Not at all.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting line. I'm very surprised by this line. And it's been a little bit of a theme throughout the first almost half of the NFL season here, where we've talked about Carolina being undervalued and Baltimore being overvalued since that season opening blowout win against Buffalo. They also have a 21-point win over Tennessee. A lot of the power ratings that figure into and factor into the lines being made take point differential into account. And there are betting systems that show that teams that have been dominant and are outscoring opponents by double digits tend to be overvalued. I mean, this is a case here where I'm looking at a Carolina team at home over the last calendar year, 8-0 straight up, 6-2 against the spread. Straight up win is all they need here, getting a couple of points. If you want to look at Carolina against AFC opponents, regardless of where these games have been played, last seven games against AFC teams, Carolina 6-0-1 against the spread. Baltimore over the last three calendar years, 2-8-1 against the spread against NFC teams. You look at Baltimore, 5-11-1 against the spread, October road game since the start of 2011. There are just so many things here that point toward the Panthers as the team that should be favored in this one. I will gladly take the points.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one I had to like triple check this line to make sure it wasn't a plus where it was supposed to be a minus for the Panthers here. The one thing I'll say, and this is purely devil's advocate because I like the Panthers in this one a lot too. Cam is so volatile, really week to week. You don't know what you're going to get from the Panthers offense at this point. That I could see someone convincing themselves to stay away from this game, but I certainly wouldn't go Baltimore in this game.
Yeah, the line here has thrown me for a loop, so I'm not sure where to go. I think the Ravens are very, very good. To me, this is a stay-away game. Wouldn't be shocked if either team won. Carolina last week, that was a hell of a win for them, but the Raven defense here could be tough for the Panthers, but that line just makes me not want to go near this game. Let's continue. The Bears at home giving 7.5 points to the Jets. Total here 45. I'll just say one thing about this game. You'll hear about it from me at the end of the segment because at the end of the show, because I think 45 is ridiculously low here as a total. As for the game, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, it's too many points for the Bears to be giving at this point. Trubisky he's a mess. And this Jets defense is not a weakness. I'll back off the Jets defense are borderline elite, which I was saying early in the year, but it's still a good defense. I think the one thing that would give you pause is just the fact that Vic Fangio defense, it's tough on young quarterbacks. It's a lot of gray areas that it causes that could, it could be a long day for Sam Darnold, but that number's just too big. Bears can't be given a touchdown right now. And the last four games, they've gotten 3+ turnovers in each of those games, and they've only covered once. I mean, this is this is too much.
I feel like I've defended Trubisky all year against you guys. I mean, listen, he still put up 31 points against the Patriots last week, but like you said, there were turnovers.
Yeah, look, the legs are good. Yeah. The legs are really
good.
That
one run was ridiculous, yeah.
But he's
it's so frustrating because he doesn't miss by a lot, but yeah, he is it's time he now cleans that up. I thought it would happen by now, but it hasn't.
I'm hitting this branding and I'll hit it again on this show.
Yeah.
Trubisky right now is Bortles North.
I mean, it's a little soon for that, I think. It's a little soon.
not long term, but right now, we'll as it, far yeah. As how he's playing.
Scott, what do you got on Bears minus 7.5 against the visiting Jets?
I agree. I think it's too many points here. I'm staying away from this game. You look at Chicago, 3-7 against the spread as a favorite since the start of 2016. Only 4-6 straight up as a favorite. So not a situation where they have excelled in recent seasons. So I'm staying away. It's too many points. If I had to play it, I would take the Jets because of the amount of points.
Here's another fishy line, I think. The Bengals struggling lately, but hard to say that. I mean, what they got, the loss to the Chiefs here. I mean, give them a little bit of a break. Bengals giving four at home to the incoming Buccaneers. Total here through the roof, 54.5. Scott Grambling, what's going on here with this line here?
You know, this line has moved. It opened at 6, and I thought 6 was the right number. Mm-hmm. It just felt like the right number to me there.
Yeah, I agree.
And, I'm kind of with you here, Jimmy. I'm surprised by it. I think you look at Tampa, they came out early in the season and had a couple of impressive wins, but certainly have not been impressive since then. Yeah. And really, the win against the Eagles at home isn't as impressive as it seemed, especially when you consider when it was Nick Foles at quarterback there. So since then, they lost the three games and then they won the overtime game against the Browns. So look at Tampa Bay, what they've done, 0-7-1 against the spread in games played during the month of October over the past two calendar years. I like the Bengals here. I can't say I love the Bengals. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that Bengals defense. I'm not quite sure that Bengals defense isn't better off without Burfict.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to play the game, I would be playing Cincinnati, but it's not a game I'll be playing.
Yeah, that line drop is – I mean, I don't know. I sort of think – we're at the point now where if a team plays the Chiefs, like the Bengals, you just got to throw it out. You can't use that as any form of guide for this week. But I don't know. That's just me. Gary, what do you like? What do you got in this game?
No, yeah, I love the Bengals in this one. I love this is such a Bengals stage right now. The anonymous 1 o'clock game. They're so much more comfortable in this situation.
Right, right.
I don't, and I apologize. I don't have the ATS numbers, but they're now under Marvin Lewis. They're 8-32 in primetime straight up, and they're 5-20 with Andy Dalton under center in primetime after last Sunday night. So this is a very typical Bengals game here. The one thing that gives me pause, and I apologize, I'll be bringing up red zone a lot over the next couple weeks. I'm starting to obsess over it and starting to believe that it is so much fueled by luck. Not completely fueled by luck, but so much fueled by luck. But the fact that the Bengals were so good in the red zone, and still, they're still number two in the league right now in red zone efficiency. I don't know if that's sustainable. So that, you know, giving more than the field goal gives me a little bit of pause. But I mean, you know, this one will come back to late in the show.
Maybe it's the SI Media podcast that's sort of ingrained in me right now since I host that. But when you said I'm going to be talking a lot about the red zone in the next few weeks, I was like, okay, well, what's going on with the Red Zone channel? You got some Andrew Siciliano fetish I don't know about? I was like, okay, where are we going with this? I watch Game Mix on Sundays, but okay. The other Red Zone. Okay, I got you. All right, we go to I don't get this line at all. The Bengals are a better team than the Bucks. Winston there has not done anything for them that makes you think they're going to go into Cincinnati and win here. I think this is a disrespectful line to the Bengals, but you know, the coach is Marvin Lewis, so anything can happen.
All you know right. What, Jimmy? Tampa Bay is giving up an average of 40.7 points per game in their three road games this year, too.
Wow. This seems like a Bengals get back together here type of game, and you know, 31-13. All right, the Lions at home just giving a field goal to the incoming Seahawks. Total here is 49. Scott.
Lions on a five-game against the spread win streak. Mm. They got buried by the Jets in the season opener. They've covered five straight since then. Clearly undervalued after that blowout loss.
Only given a field goal at home here.
And it's been decent competition, too. I mean, in that five-game against the spread win streak, a pair of straight-up wins against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, against Tom Brady and the Patriots, both games at home. They've been playing well at home since that opener against the Jets. I think there's a lot to like about Detroit in this one. I know Seattle's coming off the bye, but last 19 games Seattle has played coming off the bye, 5-13-1 against the spread. So that shouldn't concern you too much. I'm surprised Lions only given a field goal here. I like the Lions a lot.
Yeah, and welcome everyone to the Lions bandwagon.
I had them last week, and I think this line is really low.
It is. It, like, if you're just looking at it, if you're doing the, you know, the rule of thumb, 3 points for the home field advantage, anyone saying the Seahawks are as good as the Lions is nuts. That's a falsehood.
Yeah, I agree. Weird line. All right, let's go to this podcast favorite team, the Chiefs. They are giving 10 points at home to the Broncos. Big number there. Total 53.5, which I think is kind of low here for a Chiefs game. Gary, so what do you will the Chiefs cover 10 points?
Well, I'll kick off, and I won't hog all the trends. I'll let Scott have some of the trends here because there are some easy ones, some good ones. I'll just say this about the Chiefs. This is the only point I'll make. What I found especially encouraging on Sunday night when they hammered the Bengals, you look at a team like the Eagles who's struggling to close out teams, and it's like, why are they struggling? Yes, the defense is no good, but they've stopped scoring points in the second half. It's been they've gone to the old formula of like, oh, well, we're going to run the ball and play defense and close out the game. The Chiefs realize their defense stinks,
right.
So they're going to close out games by just scoring touchdown after touchdown. So seeing a 10-point spread, especially with this Denver team, and again, they have never won or covered in a Sunday road game under Vance Joseph, or Monday. Only the Thursdays. They got the two crap teams on Thursdays the last 2 years, and those are their two road successes. So this one, I'm fully – the only thing that gives me pause is if Scott picks the Chiefs, because I have a feeling Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are listening to this podcast, and they're just getting so fired up when Scott picks against them after being their biggest supporter in the preseason.
You made a great point, too, because they were blowing out the Bengals late in that game. They were still throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's how they're going to close out games.
Yeah.
That's how they got to do it.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting spread 10 with a division rival, and the Broncos' defense was so bad, and I think, you know, they thought, all right, let's get fat against the Cardinals, which they did. So, you know, I don't know how you get a read on the Broncos' defense, but, you know, the Chiefs' 10 is like 3 to a normal team. But, Scott, will you be back on the bandwagon this week?
I did like the Chiefs last week against the Bengals. I didn't best bet them.
Yeah, I didn't best bet them.
It still fired him up.
Yeah.
It's just not enough points here. This Broncos team is bad, and I think they're even being a smidge overvalued here after the big win against the Cardinals. I mean, they're a bottom five team right now, and on the road, I think they're definitely a bottom five team. I think they have one of the better home field advantages in the league because of the thin air. But that's not the case here because they are on the road. Chiefs are 6-0 both straight up and against the spread against the Broncos. The last six times these teams have met, Kansas City has punished AFC West opponents in recent years. 12-1 against the spread when facing the AFC West opponent since the start of October 2016. Any way you slice it, it really does point here to Kansas City. And you know, you look at the total as well in those last six games against the Broncos. It's 4-1-1 over the total, and the only one that went under was a 50-point game, the one they played on Monday night earlier this year. So it does seem like a lot of points when divisional teams are facing each other the second time. I really don't like to lay this many points, but the Chiefs are a different animal. They've proven it. You've stuck with them, Jimmy. You deserve the credit. I'm in the back of the bus, but I'm still on the bus.
Yeah, I got to say, though, this week gives me a little bit of pause.
No!
I would never bet Denver. I don't think Denver's a bottom five team. Like you said, I do think they're a little bit better than that. I'll say this. I think I'm going to be one of about a billion people in this world who have the Chiefs hooked up in some teasers with the Patriots and perhaps maybe the Rams or Steelers. You bring that 10 down, and it's a nice little lock for you.
I just want to add one more thing. So that 0-9 on non-Thursday road games under Vance Joseph,
yeah.
8 of those games they lost by double digits. So they haven't been, you know, losing close ones on the road.
Yeah.
They've stunk up.
They're not a competitive team on the road. I mean, they're getting blown out by teams like the Jets.
Right. Right, it's true, and they got that running game. They had that running game issue there against.
Come on, Jimmy. No reason for pause. Come on.
We'll see. Listen, like I said, I would never bet Denver here. So it's just a matter of, you know, I get nervous about maybe, you know, Chiefs up by 17 late and a little
Chiefs up by 17 late, and then they continue to punish them and they end up winning by 24 or 31.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to make the argument for Broncos there. All right, we go to New Jersey, not New York. That's where the game will be played, Jersey. The Redskins, surprised, I've given them no respect all year, and I guess it's time I have to start doing it. The Redskins visit the Giants. The game is a pick'em, despite the Giants' struggles. Total 42.5, which is low this season. Scott.
This is a gross game. I'm not playing this game. I'm not watching this game. I'm not going to this game. I don't know, Giants 4-1 against the spread at home against Washington the last five times they've met. If you want to read anything into that, I don't. I think the Giants are a mess coming off. I've talked many times about the Sunday game with the team coming off the Monday night road game. It's not only that, but the Giants are starting to dismantle that defense. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's not necessarily a good thing in the short term. If I had to play it, I would take Washington, but I'm staying away from this game.
Yeah, I mean, part of me wants to think maybe the Giants doing a fire sale here helps them. But it's interesting, you have a 4-2 team and the Redskins coming in, and the game's a pick 'em. Gary?
Yeah, no, I think the Giants waved the white flag this week, and I think that matters in the locker room. You know, Eli Apple, you'd say, and I don't have anything to add if whatever you read about Eli Apple is what I also know about him. Damon Harrison, though, I mean, he's a popular guy, and he's still a really good player. So this was a give up. Look, before the trades, I like the Giants in this game because I think they are close enough. I think you saw on Monday night, you know, you have one fourth down play where Eli doesn't throw to an open Odell, and then there's a later two-point conversion where he throws to an open Odell, but Odell drops it. And, they're closer. They're not good, but they're closer. And I really think the Redskins are kind of like this year's Buffalo Bills with the way they've been winning games on sort of these razor-thin margins as far as their path to victory goes. But at this point, I mean, I love Washington in this game.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I haven't given the Redskins much respect this year, but I will say that the Giant offensive line is so bad that the Redskin defense, I think, could really give it some fits. Redskin front seven's pretty good. Yeah. So I could see the Redskins giving the Giants a long day here. We go to Pittsburgh. Interesting game. The Steelers are giving 8 points to the Browns. Total here is 49. I'll just say this, since I've been on the Browns all year, I think the Browns, this is going to be now, the Browns are in the midst of a rough patch. Very bad loss last week at Tampa Bay. I have a feeling this game might not be close. I'm nervous about the Browns here. Young team, awful coach, tough times. Steelers have been improving. I think this is a very long day for the Browns. Scott?
I like the Browns in this one. Getting the points. Getting the points. Look, three of Cleveland's four losses this season have either gone to overtime or been lost on a last-minute field goal. I know the Steelers are coming off a bye. Steelers are 1-6 against the spread coming off a bye since the start of the 2011 season. I still think some of this Le'Veon Bell stuff that's going on has the Steelers not exactly focused the way a Steelers team has in recent years at this point in the season. I just like the points here. I would not take the Browns to win it outright, but getting more than a touchdown in a divisional game, I've got to go with the Browns here and take the points. I'm looking for, you know, something in the neighborhood of 24-20, maybe 27-21, but getting more than the touchdown, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm leaning Steelers in this one. I don't think you can really pick a Browns game with any type of confidence at this point, but I do like the Steelers putting up points at home. I mean, they average close to 30. They obviously bounce back after that Sunday night disaster against the Ravens there. I think the Browns are coming apart at the seams, especially when it comes to that coaching staff. I think it's coming to a head there. So you wonder if there's an ugly week or two coming up here, but again, it's a tough team to read right now.
Ugly week or two? What do you think their game is after the Steelers? They've got the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think this is the stretch here where it could end up maybe being beneficial, because at some point they got to cut bait with Hugh Jackson if they want to get that franchise turned around. Also, you know, on the road last week at Tampa Bay, brutal loss. Now on the road at Pittsburgh, I think this is long day for Cleveland. Let's go to the 4 o'clock slate. Unfortunately, there's really only one game that matters. We'll go through the two picks first. First up, the Colts giving 3 on the road to the Raiders. Talk about a dismantling. Bye-bye, Amani Cooper. So the Colts, of all teams, favorites on the road, giving the field goal in Oakland, and the total here is 50.5. Gary?
See, I still like the Colts in this situation, even giving the points on the road. Andrew Luck is by far the best player in this game. I think he's enough to lift this Colts offense against it's a terrible Raiders defense. And you know, not to mention the fire sale in Oakland and who's going next and that sort
and
of thing.
And reports of the players not enjoying John Gruden.
Yep. I mean, they don't like John Gruden. They don't like Derek Carr. I mean, it's clearly a rebuild here with the Raiders. They seem to be Las Vegas Raiders. So Colts are perfectly capable of it. They're well coached on defense, even if they're under-talented. And look, Andrew Luck, as I've said the last couple weeks, I mean, he's playing at an MVP level. He just happens to be playing with a Pop Warner caliber team, and that's enough to put up points against this Raiders defense.
Scott?
I like the Raiders here. I like the Raiders coming off the bye. I think the Raiders get things right. I think the Colts are overvalued here. I think too much is putting into that 37-5 win against Buffalo. I should go and kind of do some analysis on how overvalued teams end up being after they play Buffalo. I think there's something there.
Yeah.
Raiders pass defense is awful. Only team in the NFL that's allowing an average of 9 yards per pass attempt, but they do have the ability to move the ball through the air, which is where I think they're going to end up winning this game. And if you want a betting system, so the Raiders are one of 10 NFL teams averaging more than 280 passing yards per game. Teams average at least 255 passing yards per game, 19-1 straight up since the start of 2016, when coming off four consecutive games in which they allowed 6.75 or more yards per pass attempt. I know that seems like a big jumbling of stats, but essentially what that says is if you can move the ball through the air, as bad as your defense is playing, these type of teams have stayed in games to the tune of 19-1 straight up. A significant sample size in since the start of 2016. I like that betting system. I'm applying it here, and I like the Raiders coming off the bye.
I agree with Gary. I think the line is in the -3 for one reason and one reason only, Andrew Luck. I think it's as simple as that. And the Raiders are such a mess. And Cooper gone, like I said there. I like the Colts here as well. I think Andrew Luck's enough to get the job done.
I don't
here.
Think Cooper gone is necessarily a bad thing.
No,
I
it's
really
not.
Don't.
But he was not playing well. But it's more, you know, where's the talent on that offense? You know, Marshawn Lynch, has that experiment really worked out for them?
Nope.
I don't
more Doug Martin now.
And with the Raider pass defense, I could see, you know, Andrew Luck really making this an easy Sunday for the Colts. Arizona. I don't know if Gary wants to even get into what happened in their last game on Thursday night. I don't think we really addressed it. They are at home. Line here, San Fran -1 at Arizona. Total 42.5. Is this line accurate, Scott?
I think
God bless figuring these teams out.
I like the Niners here. I really do. I think that they're just... they're the better team. They certainly didn't look like it, but it was against the Rams. And prior to that, you know, they gave the – if they knew how to defend the sidelines on pass attempts when the opposition doesn't have any timeouts left, they could have won that game. I know woulda, coulda, shoulda, but I like San Francisco here. It's a game where it's their second divisional game, second game that they've played inside of a month, if I remember correctly. They lost – at home by 10 points on that late touchdown return on a fumble, I think it was. And as you could tell, these are the games I don't pay that close attention to that
nor
they're
should
fresh
you.
In my memory. But I like San Francisco here. I think they're going to win the game outright. I wouldn't be surprised if they won it by a touchdown.
Gary, if it's not this week that you pick Arizona, when will you ever pick them? At home, getting a point against the crap.
No, and look, I like San Francisco, too. I think San Francisco might even be undervalued in this. But I am going to pick the Cardinals in this game, not with a tremendous amount of confidence. I don't want to get too much into the X's and O's and all that stuff, but Mike McCoy had to go as offensive coordinator here, and you put Byron Leftwich back in. You get an offense styled more to what they did the last couple of years under Bruce Arians. It's funny, we talked about this, Andy Benoit and I talked about this, the Leftwich hiring on the Monday show, and why didn't they do it right off the bat there, and he makes a good point. When you're a first-time head coach, and you interview for these jobs, and they say who's going to be your assistants, they want you to bring up former head coaches to say, hey, I'm bringing in guys with head coaching experience to help me along. And that is probably why Leftwich didn't originally get the offense coordinator job. So I think they're righting a wrong to an extent here. And I think they might just match up with this 49ers team a little bit better. They obviously, you know, Cardinals stink up front, but 49ers don't have anyone who can rush the passer off the edge. It's, you know, DeForest Buckner up the middle, or it's nothing with them. So I like the matchup. I'm not going to sit here and say I love the Cardinals or this is about to be an epic turnaround, but maybe it will.
Here's what I have to say about Niners Cardinals. I won't watch it. I won't bet it. I won't analyze it. Let's go to the good 425 game on Sunday. Rams giving 9.5 to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Total 56.5. That is your biggest total of week 8. Gary, will the Rams cover 9.5 against Mr. Rodgers?
I'm looking forward to being entertained by this game.
Yes.
This is tough. I do think Aaron Rodgers can go almost punch for punch with these guys. I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. I would say it's a near guarantee that the Rams are going to light up this Packers defense, which I honestly was bullish on the Packers defense coming into the year. I thought maybe there's some growing pains with the rookie corners. It's been more than that. I mean, they are up front, they're bad. On the back end, they're bad. I'll lean Packers almost out of respect for Aaron Rodgers, but this is too tough.
Scott?
Too many points. I like the Packers in this game. By the way, first time that Aaron Rodgers, as the Packers quarterback, has been getting more than 8 points in a game.
I was wondering that, yeah.
Did look that one up. Green Bay coming off the bye under Mike McCarthy, 11-4 straight up, 10-4-1 against the spread. I just think that the Rams, they're not invincible. They're not a team that is absolutely blowing everybody out. They're coming off that blowout win against the overmatched 49ers. It was a tough spot for the 49ers coming off the Monday night road game, back-to-back weeks, having to face the Rams, having to face the Packers and then having to face the Rams. The Rams in recent weeks just haven't been as dominant if you set aside the San Francisco game. I mean, they won by 7 at home against the Vikings, and then back-to-back road games against Seattle, which is no good. They squeaked it out, 1-2. Then against Denver, which is no good, they won that game by 3. I think that this is a spot here where even putting a little bit of putting some wampum on the money line might be warranted. I don't think the Packers are going to win outright, but I think that kind of a line is just too—it's too good to pass up. If there is a weakness, and it's hard to say there's a weakness to an undefeated team as we're almost close to Halloween, if there is, it's the Rams against good passing teams, and they've only played 2 top 10 passing defenses this season. One was in the season opener against Oakland. That was a close game at halftime. The other one was against the Vikings, that game that they pushed. They won by 7 as a 7-point favorite. Rams gave up 392 passing yards at home in that game. I just think that this is a situation where the Packers' strengths really could take advantage of any weakness that the Rams might have. I like the Packers in the points.
Yeah, you just look at it and you say, how do you not take Aaron Rodgers plus 9.5? Maybe even you buy a half point if you have places that can do that. You go to 10. A couple of things here that make me nervous, though, about this. Rams finally home after 3 straight road games. Very rare you get an NFL team 3 straight road games. They've had 3 straight road games. So now they come home. I could see a little home cooking here. Not that L.A. is that into football, but for the players now, a week at home, refreshed. I'm with Gary on this. The Packer defense is not stopping the Rams. The Rams will score 40-plus on Sunday. I have no doubt about that. But I think the Packers maybe can get to the 30-plus with Rodgers, who comes off a bye, knee getting better, knee brace off this week. So I just think if you have Aaron Rodgers and 9.5, 10 points, you just have to take it out of principle more than anything. You forget analyzing anything else. You're getting Aaron Rodgers and those points. But if you're betting this expecting the Packer defense to slow down the Rams offense and Todd Gurley, who cannot be stopped, good luck. That won't be the case. This is Aaron Rodgers keeping up with that high-powered offense, I think. Sunday night, great game. Vikings defense tightening up a little bit, giving a point only a point at home to the Saints. Total 52 playoff rematch from last year. Of course, everyone knows how that ended. Game of the week, probably. Scott, what do you like?
This is a very intriguing game. Yeah. I can't wait to watch this game. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
I like the Vikings in this one.
Only
I do.
A point at home.
I've been on the Saints for a while here. I did have them as my Super Bowl winner prior to the season. I think this is a tough spot for them, and I just think that Minnesota is one of those rare NFL teams that can match up defensively with that Saints offense. You look at the two games they played last year. They played one in the regular season and then that epic playoff game. Vikings defense held the Saints to an average of 21.5 points per game. They held them to 70 rushing yards per game over those two games. I feel like when you look at Minnesota against offenses like this, they have had success. 4-1-1 against the spread since the start of 2016 when facing an opponent that's averaging at least 7.5 yards per pass attempt. I think this lines up as a good matchup for Minnesota. They're also 9-1 straight up, 8-2 against the spread over the past 10 games against opponents from the NFC South. Six of those nine victories have been by 10 points or more. This is a good spot at home for a strong team. Vikings have been undervalued since that Bills loss, which was inexcusable. But since then, in three October games, they're 3-0 straight up, 3-0 against the spread. They've looked impressive. They've won each of the last two games by double digits. First game of that win streak was at Philadelphia. This is a good football team. These are the second and third best teams in the NFC. And I guess we'll find out after Sunday night which one is second best and which one is third to the Rams.
Gary, what do you got on the Saints at the Vikings?
No, I agree. And look, the only reason I lean Vikings here is, you know, only giving a point and a half at home. I think you almost have to go with them there. But, I mean, this one's tough. We'll see Xavier Rhodes has the foot injury. Probably going to be a game-time decision. Yeah, I mean, this is I really don't have much to add here. I mean, these teams, you would love them both in any other game.
Right.
The fact that the Vikings are you know, basically the neutral field underdog, only given the point and a half here, I think I'd go Minnesota.
Yeah, listen, I don't think anyone in this room would be surprised if either team won. So when you have it that way, you're looking for things here and there. Probably for me, this is a stay away game just because it's going to be close. If I had a lean, I'd go Vikings for just a couple of reasons. Saints coming off a road game in Baltimore. That was a very physical game. Now you're going on the road again against a very physical team. Gary mentioned Xavier Rhodes back, Everson Griffin back as well. And that defense has been improving after starting off abysmally. And I think Cousins now, 7 weeks in, he's got something going with Thielen and Diggs. And I could see the Saints, the Vikings here putting up the points to get the victory here.
If anybody dabbles in daily fantasy, look how low price Kirk Cousins is this week in DraftKings.
Really?
And go pounce on that.
Yeah.
He's under $6,000.
Well, they've been, you know, Murray's played well there for Cook in the backfield, but they're a throwing team. I mean, they chuck it all
Absolutely.
Over the place now. So that's
Absolutely.
Interesting. I don't play daily fantasy, no. But that's interesting to me. We wrap it up Monday night. The biggest line of the week. The Patriots, who are back to being in full Patriots mode here. Minus 14 at Buffalo. Total 44. I'm a bad host because I'm sure the boys know. I don't know the status of Gronk with the back. He didn't make the trip to Chicago last week. Maybe New England to Buffalo is a little shorter trip and it's easier for Gronk there. But the Patriots giving the two touchdowns at Buffalo. Scott, do the Bills have any chance to cover?
They certainly have a chance to cover.
Derek Anderson, I should say.
I would not. It's a bit.
Derek Anderson.
In DRF Sports
Derek
form this week.
Anderson. What's his DraftKings value?
We said.
you'll actually get money if you put him in your line. Yeah.
We write in the subhead of our write-up of the Monday night game in DRF Sports form, a quarterback battle of New England's Tom Brady and Buffalo's Derek Anderson is about as lopsided a matchup as humanly possible.
And the real matchup there is Derek Anderson versus Bill Belichick. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, we talked in last week's podcast, and I need to make a correction. I've got taken a task on this. I said that the last time I saw Derek Anderson play a game in Buffalo, he was 2-for-17 for 33 yards. That was incorrect. I misremembered it. It was 2-for-17 for 23 yards,
okay, yeah.
And they won the
adjustment.
Game.
Okay.
I will be at the game in Buffalo. I am taking a 7 a.m. train on Monday. It takes a mere 8 hours to get from the southeastern part of this great state of New York to the northwestern part of the state. And if I had to play it, I do think that the Patriots are going to have their way with the Bills, as they tend to do.
Yep.
Tom Brady, 27 career victories against Buffalo. No other quarterback has that many wins against a single opponent in NFL history. And get this, only three quarterbacks, Jim Kelly, Joe Ferguson, and Jack Kemp, have won more games for the Bills than Brady has won against the Bills.
Wow. That's a great stat.
That is, can you make the case for Buffalo here, Gary?
No, I did. I'll update. I asked my friend Jeeves here about Rob Gronkowski, and Gronk is practicing.
Right.
So it looks like he has a chance to play on
Monday. He's from Western New York. That right. tends to be a game he does not like to sit out.
Yeah. Yep. No, I think this one, the worst case scenario for the Patriots is it ends up being a lot like their trip to Buffalo last year, which was a game where the offense was a little uneven, but they still won 23-3. I'm fine giving the two touchdowns here and rolling with the Patriots.
I will go over 23 passing yards for Derek Anderson, however. I'm not
will you though?
You'll be sweating that out, that's for sure.
I will. The Pats defense isn't great.
You'll get the Pat blowout and Buffalo throwing on every down.
That fourth quarter screen pass to Chris Ivory.
Exactly.
That puts over the
yes.
top.
It looks like double the passing yards when you have that much LeBiette Blue.
All right, so that wraps up the slate for Week 8. It is now time for us to give our best bets. All right, Scott, let's start with you. How many you got for us this week?
I'm going back with another six-pack. I'm going to, and I'll have many a six-pack in Buffalo, by the way. I'm sure that comes as no surprise. I am taking the Carolina Panthers as the small underdog at home against the Ravens. I am taking the San Francisco 49ers at Arizona.
-1.
Give me the Raiders and the field goal going against the Colts. And I am taking the Packers plus the 9.5 going against the Rams. The two totals I have, I like the over in the Baltimore-Carolina game.
44.
And I like the under in the San Francisco-Arizona game. That game went over when they played early in the year, and I had the over, but it was only because of that late fumble return for a touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised if neither team reached 20 points in that game.
Total there is 42.5. Scott's under there. Gary, best bets, how many?
All right, I got five sides and one total here. Going with Detroit. Detroit given 3 at home against Seattle. I got the Bengals given 4.5 at home against Tampa. I'll take the Patriots. I'll take that Monday night game. Just keep that thing under 20 points, and I'll jump on that. So Patriots -14. At Buffalo, I'm going Washington, basically a pick'em with what are we right now?
Yep, pick 'em.
Still pick'em on
yep,
that game?
Yep, pick'em with the Giants, yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Washington against the Giants here. And I know Cam can be volatile here, but I will take the Panthers getting the 2 points against the Ravens at home. I'm also going to go over in the London game, over 42.5 in Eagles-Jaguars.
About 4 Eagles pick sixes on Blake Bortles to get that over?
I don't know if either team trusts their run game. I think we're going to see the ball get thrown around a little bit.
I got 5-4 you as well. I'm going to give you the Eagles -3 in that London game. I think the Jaguars are done. The Steelers -8 against the Browns. Like I said, we're in a rough patch here for the Browns. This one's got 34-10 written all over it, unfortunately, for the Browns. And then 2, I'm on the same side here as Gary. Lions -3. I think that line is very low for a home team that's playing very well. Patriots -14. I think they cover that by the end of the first quarter. And I love the over in the over 45 Jets-Bears. And I wouldn't be surprised if you get multiple defensive and special teams touchdowns in that game.
It's an enticing board this week. Yeah. I think there's a lot of good plays this week, and I haven't felt that way probably in about a month, I have to say.
And like I said, I know Sunday morning I'm going to do something I shouldn't, and I'm going to be putting the Chiefs in about 10 teasers. All right, that wraps up week 8 here in the NFL. Hopefully I can match my 5-0 from last week. Had to throw that in one more time. We appreciate you listening right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We will see you next week.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.